This is an ABC podcast.
I mean, go online. You can go and find those little cars that kids drive around in. They take 8 to 9 hours to charge overnight. It's not going to tow your trailer. It's not going to tow your boat. It's not going to get you out to your favourite camping spot with your family. Bill Shorten wants to end the weekend when it comes to his policy on electric vehicles.
Scott Morrison seems to have had a change of heart on electric vehicles since the 2019 election campaign. This week, he was much more upbeat about their potential.
We're putting Australians in the driver's seat when it comes to our road to net zero by 2050.
Prime Minister, in 2019, you attacked Labor's EV policy, saying it would be the end of the weekend. Looking back, was that silly, short-sighted, or just a lie?
I don't think their policy was a good policy. I still don't think it was a good policy. Because Labor wants to tell everybody what to do. They love telling people what to do, what cars to drive. I think Australians have had enough of governments telling them what to do.
He was unveiling the government's new $250 million EV plan.
It's called the Future Fuels Strategy, and it's a $250 million plan that promises to build 50,000 charging stations across the country.
So is it just talk, or could it actually work? I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley. And today on The Signal, Australia's slow motion switch to electric vehicles. What will it take to speed things up? First, it was net zero, now electric vehicles. The federal government has been getting behind some unexpected ideas lately.
Yeah, in fact, those two are very much related. Although the question seems to be how sincere that support in fact is. So on electric vehicles, the government has just announced money for about 50,000 new chargers, public and household. And even though analysts have been calling for more charging infrastructure for years, most of them are giving the government's new EV strategy fewer than 5 stars, including Gail Broadbent.
Okay, Gail Broadbent, and I'm a postgraduate researcher from the University of New South Wales.
Okay, great. And your research focus is very much electric vehicles and the policy that supports that. Not only that, you actually have an electric vehicle yourself. What's it like?
Oh, it's great. I love it. In fact, we would never go back to an ordinary car now. To be honest, it's very, very easy. We just plug it in at night at the end of the day and top it up in the garage. We just plug it into a normal power point. We haven't even bothered with a, you know, fancy recharging unit. We just trickle charge it overnight and that works for us. And, you know, if we're out and about, we, you know, going down to Canberra or whatever, we do have to stop off and, you know, somewhere like Mittagong and top it up so that we can get to Canberra. So, you know, for us, it's really easy. It's just a matter of learning where the recharges are around the place. And there's a website called PlugShare that has a map that shows you where they all are. And it's very, very easy.
As things stand, what is the EV uptake in Australia like?
Oh, it's really poor. It's really poor. In 2020, EVs were about 0.77% of total new cars sold in Australia. And it only reached that sort of number because the total purchasing of cars during COVID has been much less than normal. And so that the number looks good because the purchasing of EVs wasn't impacted at all.
And it tells us something if, you know, looking good, quote, is still under 1%.
Oh,
how does that
terrible.
Translate into the fleet overall? I mean, what, you know, what percentage of the overall fleet is electric, or does it just vanish into microscopic amounts?
It does vanish into microscopic amounts. It's 0.002% of the total fleet of passenger cars. So our total fleet of passenger cars is about 14 million, a bit under a million a year are being bought new each year. So out of that, that number of electric vehicles is pretty small. By the end of 2020, we had 22,000 electric vehicles. Now, in the first half of this year, about 8,000 have been bought to add to that number, which is great. But, you know, that's still a drop in the bucket compared to the number of petrol and diesel vehicles being sold.
And if you think that sounds bad, then wait until you hear how far ahead of us some other countries are.
Norway is the standout, absolute standout. Last year, 75% of new car sales were electric. In Iceland, it was 52%. In Sweden, 32%. Netherlands, 25%. The UK was around about, 3.2. The US overall was 2, but in California it's much, much higher. So Poland, poor Poland in Europe, is only 0.3. Now, that's a relatively poor country. Australia is one of the richest countries in the world, and we still are doing very poorly. And it's because there's no support for the infrastructure. That is the critical factor here.
Right. But as we mentioned, the government says it's trying to change that. With $250 million, much of that to be spent on public and household charging facilities.
Look, they're making lots of noise, but in fact, they're not doing very much at all. You know, they're saying they're doing things, but when you get down to it, it's not very much at all. So that if you're saying, oh, we're going to help 50,000 households put in an electric vehicle charger in their off-street parking spot, that is not helping the people that actually need it. The people who do need it are the people who don't have off-street parking. So you need to help councils install rechargers in public places where people who don't have off-street parking actually live, actually making an assessment of where are they. 50,000 of those would be much better than 50,000 for people who've already got off-street parking.
I mean, we will see charging stations put in for electric vehicles in our metropolitan areas. That'll be done by the private sector because it makes sense for them to do that and they can fund that.
But, you know, that doesn't make sense. And 400 businesses, they're going to help 400 businesses put in electric vehicle charging. Well, that's great. You know, that's 400 businesses. But how many businesses are there in Australia? A lot more than 400. There'd be thousands of them. So my assessment, the public 1,000 fast rechargers, that's great. But when you look at the map of where they're going to put them, waste of time. If you look at the map, they're all on the eastern seaboard, one in Darwin, some in Perth, a couple in Tasmania, up to Cairns. And that doesn't give people confidence that they can get across Australia or round the coast or up through the middle from Adelaide up to Darwin. People want confidence that if they want to go on a long trip, they can. And when they look at that map, they're going to say, well, I'm never going to buy an electric car because I don't think I can get where I want to go. So it's really not that helpful to focus on what they're calling the black spots. The black spots are out in the middle where there is nothing.
I guess one big thing that's really notable with this strategy is that it's a real change in rhetoric. You know, this is a very different attitude to electric vehicles than the government has displayed in the past.
You can't honestly say you weren't attacking electric vehicles and it was just Bill Shorten's policy.
No, I can, because that's true.
In 2019 on 2GB, you said, what about all these charging stations? How much is that going to cost? Mm. I mean, if you have an electric car and you live in an apartment, are you going to run the extension cord down from your fourth floor window? Mm. Yet now, today, you're focusing on infrastructure. So you have to admit, it's a fairly big conversion you've made.
No, what we're seeing here is a massive change in the technology over the last few years. There's been a massive change in technology over the last few years.
How much of a shift is this in terms of messaging and in terms of the politics of it?
Oh, look, it's a massive shift. And I think if there's only one positive thing I can read out of this, it's the change in messaging. Before it was, we're going to ruin your weekend with EVs. Now it's okay. It's acceptable to have them. So I think if that message gets out to the community, then it's great. So that will mean that more people will think, oh, okay, I can consider an electric vehicle.
What do you think has brought about this shift in rhetoric, if nothing else, as you're saying?
I think the realisation that the public is clamouring for action on climate change, even their own Liberal Party voters are clamouring for action on climate change. They've realised they're going to have to do something because they wouldn't win an election. I don't think they wouldn't win an election unless they've been seen to do stuff. Now, as far as I can work out, this is a way of saying you're going to support something without actually doing a lot that's practical to help people make that change.
And that's all about putting this technology in the hands of Australians to make the choices they want to make. We're not going to tell them what to buy. We're not going to tell them where to drive or where they can't drive. We're not going to tell them how to live their lives and interfere in the way of life that they have. We're not going to put their petrol prices up to make them buy electric vehicles or do anything like that. Australians will make their own choices.
let's look at the plans to expand public charging infrastructure. I think it was 1,000?
Yes, yes.
So how does that measure up against the need? What do we know about the need for public chargers?
Yeah, from my research, I've worked out that the Europeans are all over this. They've been working on this for quite some time, and they have worked out a very prominent strategy that all their countries in Europe are expected to meet, and that is that you need a combination of fast chargers and a combination with what we call destination chargers. So they're the ones that people without off-street parking can use to recharge overnight when they get home from work or wherever they've been. And what they are saying, they have a target of for every 10 electric vehicles, you need one destination charger for every 10, and you need one fast charger for every 100 electric vehicles. So you need 10 times more destination chargers than you do fast chargers. So we've done some modelling, the Digital Grid Futures Institute that I'm a member of, and we've demonstrated that without this support for the rechargers, you will only get about 70% of people being able to make the change. We're not suggesting that the government funds 100%. What we're suggesting is that the government picks up any shortfall from private investment. As I say, until we reach saturation of the market, to get to 100% electric vehicle transition, then you need to support the recharges all the way through, right up until 2050.
You're not the only person, of course, who's been critical of the government's strategy that they've launched this week. Mm. The EV industry, for example, has been asking for sales targets. Mm. Is there anything like that in this plan?
Well, not that I can see. You know, I've read through it and I couldn't see any targets. You know, I think a lot of what they're doing is a communications strategy in that it reads like they're trying to do something, but when you get down to the tin tacks of the actual actions, a lot of it is running trials or investigating or evaluating or assessing. All of those things should have been done years ago, not doing it now.
What this whole strategy is about, this Future Fuels and Vehicles strategy, which is partnership between the government doing what it does best, R&D and infrastructure, helping to inform consumers, and the private sector. And of course, this plan is built on the back of those core principles that the PM talked about. Technology, not taxes. Choices, not mandates.
Now, this strategy is very much in service of our newly minted net zero emissions by 2050 target. It's not the only announcement the government has made this week either. They've also committed $500 million towards investment in emissions reduction technology via an organisation called the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. Although controversially not yet proven carbon capture and storage technology will be eligible for that pot of money if the government's proposal passes Parliament.
Either way, the coalition seems very keen to be seen to be taking action on climate change at the moment. So we asked Gail how important EVs are in the quest to reach net zero in time.
Well, passenger cars are a very big proportion. 10% of our emissions come from passenger car use. So that is a very, very large consideration. And unfortunately, this strategy doesn't do enough. So with the plan that they have and the numbers of electric vehicles they're anticipating by 2030, there's no way we could reach net zero by 2050. It just wouldn't cut it. We need to reach 50% by 2030 so that we can get to net zero by 2050. Now, the reason for that is that cars last about 20 years. So if half of your cars being bought in 2030 are still petrol vehicles, all of those vehicles will still be, you know, alive, if you sure. to coin a phrase, by 2050. They'll only be just starting to wear out. Now, if your percentages, you know, hopefully the percentage of new fossil fuel vehicles would go down from 2030 onwards, from 50% downwards. But by the end, by 2050, you're still going to have a residual. And to get to net zero, you might have to, in fact, early retire some of them. Otherwise, that just wouldn't happen. So, you know, it is imperative that we start now and we go hard and go early.
So if we do continue on this current trajectory, how long do you think it will be before Australia does catch up with some of those world-leading countries like Norway that you mentioned at the start of this interview?
In some cases, I don't think we actually ever could. You know, because according to our modelling, we'd only reach, without the support for the infrastructure, we'd only reach 70% uptake by 2050. Now, Norway's already past that. So 2050's how long away? 30 years away. Yeah, sorry, I had to think of that.
It's closer all the time, yeah.
I know. It's 30 years away. We would never get there. We would not be able to surpass Norway at any point, because if you don't provide that infrastructure, people just can't make the change.
If this plan is not adequate for that goal, in your view, then what steps could the government be taking that would get us there?
A much bigger rollout of infrastructure. That is the number one thing that will get us there. Without the infrastructure, without people who can't access off-street parking, can't get electricity, they need to have their needs satisfied, and it needs to be fairly close to where they live. Because let's say you own an electric car and, you know, it's only got a range of 200. Not every vehicle has the big long-range batteries that Tesla do, you know, that gets over 400. Some types of models only have 200. You don't want to be travelling 5 kilometres every couple of days to have to top that up. You want to be able to do it close to your home. And I don't think that the government's plan that they have is even looking at understanding behavioural necessities and understanding how people actually use cars.
That is The Signal for today. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our email is thesignal@abc.net.au.
And we'll be back here tomorrow. We'll catch you then.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.